My dear brothers and sisters, today the readings speak to us about wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? In the ancient world, wisdom was the most prized thing, far more than wealth. People looked up to a person who was wise. Today, the first reading speaks to us that wisdom is ready to be found for those who seek it. So what is it that we're looking for? Wisdom is a way of seeing the world. How? To see the world through God's eyes. That's what it means to be wise. That is, to see the world as it really is. God created the world. To see the world through his eyes is to see it in its reality. Whereas all the rest of the time, you and I sit around guessing. Even our scientists, we think so highly of modern science. What is the core of the scientific method? Hypothesis. We'll try it, see if it works. If it doesn't, then we'll try it a different way. The same thing in medicine. How many times the doctor, the nurse says, well, this is the treatment we're going to try, and if it doesn't work, then we'll try this other one. We can make educated guesses, but we, with our limited vision, we live in a world of hypothesis. Wisdom is seeing things as they truly are, seeing them through the eyes of the Creator. All of the fuss that we've been going through over these past many months about the pandemic and about politics, so much of it has robbed us of peace of soul. Why? Because we haven't been looking through God's eyes. The pandemic. There are sicknesses that happen, but you and I know life is a journey. It has a beginning, it has an end. And we can have transplants and vaccines and all of the rest, but the rate of human mortality still stands at exactly 100%. All of us at one moment or another are going to die. That's a fact. That's reality. And so it is that you and I have to be wise enough to see life as a journey. But too often, we see life here on earth as the destination. And then boy, oh boy, we're going to cling to it with all of our strength. Life here on earth is a great good. It is a blessing. But it is not the greatest good, and it is not the ultimate blessing. We need to be wise enough to see the journey. And what about politics? Well, governments come and governments go, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. Sometimes the government helps us, sometimes it hurts us. That's what history teaches us. To see through God's eyes doesn't allow ourselves to be so consumed with earthly matters that we lose the peace of the kingdom. We're in God's hands. Whether I get sick or whether I get a lousy government, I'm in the loving care of God. Period. The loving care of God. That's what the wise person sees. Life has ups, life has downs. The wise person knows that Jesus is with us every step of this journey. And we don't live a life of discouragement and disappointment when things go wrong here on earth. Because our hearts aren't set on earth. Our true home is in heaven. So here comes the second part of wisdom. It's not just seeing the reality of things. There's something more to being wise. And that's what Jesus shows us in today's gospel, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. What made five of those virgins wise? Readiness. They were ready to greet the Lord. That's what made them wise. And you and I can know all about life as God has created it and still not be ready. Readiness is a necessary component of wisdom. And we look at this parable and we say, well, those wise virgins, maybe they were wise, but they seemed pretty cruel. They seemed pretty selfish. Why didn't they take some of the oil from their lamps and share it with the other ones? Wouldn't that have been the Christ-like thing to do? But the Lord's parable is not talking about a commodity that can be shared. It's talking about an inner transformation. So, if I show up for a marathon, having not run since I had a bad asthma attack in the eighth grade, all right, and I show up and I've even bought this nifty running outfit with a little black collar, a little white thing there, and I've got black shoes, running shoes with white laces. I'm all decked out, ready to go for that marathon. Can I say to the person next to me who's trained every day for months and months, if not years and years, here, just lend me some of your readiness? It's ridiculous. I can no more become a marathon runner on the day of the marathon than I can become ready to greet the Lord the second he shows up. My spiritual transformation takes every bit as much energy, time, and sacrifice as what it would take for me to get ready for a marathon. It's not a switch that can be flipped on, and it's not something somebody else can just hand to me. No. Readiness is something that has to be developed and strengthened within me day after day after day. And sometimes those of us who have the right answers, we know how the Lord is going to call us to himself. We know our true home is in heaven. We don't live like that. Comfort is the enemy of readiness. And you and I live in the most affluent society that has ever existed in the face of the planet, and we surround ourselves with comfort. Everything's about comfort and convenience. It's about self-indulgence instead of self-gift. It's about making heaven here on earth rather than being ready for when this destination does take us to our true home in the real heaven. You and I speak about the Holy Eucharist as a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. So let's take that image. It's probably been quite a few months since any of us have been at any sort of banquet where we'd have multiple courses. But thinking back, when the appetizers come out, the foretaste, they're two things people can do. Sometimes you look at those appetizers, and especially if it's a wedding reception, and especially if the priest preached a long time, you just dive into the appetizers, right? And, oh, this is so good, this and that. And then all of us go, oh, I'm so full that when they call us to go sit down at the table, I don't want the main course. I've filled myself up with so many appetizers, I'm not hungry anymore. Sometimes you and I can take the blessings of God in the goodness of this creation, those blessings which are meant to be signs of God's love, and you and I can surround ourselves so much that we no longer have a longing for heaven. We're full of the good things that God has given us here. We're going to be just fine with the appetizers and not have that desire for something more. Same thing in our prayer life. I go to Mass, check the box, and then I don't pray the rest of the week. Somehow going to Mass doesn't awaken in us a greater hunger. Because that's the other way to approach appetizers, right? You take that little appetizer, and what does it do? Instead of satiating us, it whets my appetite. I can't wait to get to the main course. This is so good. I can't wait for what comes next. That longing. And that's what going to Mass should be. It shouldn't be check the box, now we're done with God for the week. It should awaken in us a longing. I want to spend time with the Lord in prayer. I want to receive more of His love. And as much as spending time with Him and as much as the grace of the sacraments nourishes us here on earth, I'm still hungry for more. A more that I will find only in the fullness of God's love in heaven. That's what readiness looks like. That's what wisdom is all about. My dear brothers and sisters, let's not get caught up either in the controversies or the comforts of this life. Let's stay focused on the journey, seeing the world as God sees it, and longing for the beauty of His kingdom and the richness of His love more than anything else.